In this practice, we pay attention to what shows up in the mind. And in the first day, we focused on noticing the breath as a way of really stabilizing the mind. And then we opened our field of attention to notice any strong physical sensations that arise. And today the practice instructions is to open that field just a little bit more and include any strong emotions, any compelling emotions that arise, and allow them to be the focus of the awareness. So emotions are an essential part of being human. They include some of the most wonderful things we can experience. Love, bliss, all sorts of wonderful humor, wonderful things we can experience. And it includes the most difficult things we can experience. Anger, fear, grief, loss. And in this practice, we're not trying to have some emotions and not have others. We're trying to let the emotions move through us without resisting them, without judging them, without adding anything to them. And in particular, without getting lost in the stories that trigger the emotions. I like to remember that the word emotion actually means to move through. And that's what happens when an emotion comes. It kind of ramps up, peaks, and then gradually fades. And so if we can just show up for it and be present for it, we can allow it to come and go. But it's really can be very easy to get caught up in strong emotions. And the stories that feed them are often very, even if they're unpleasant, they're still kind of juicy, you know, so we kind of are very drawn to them. So it's really helpful to notice the difference between the story and the emotion. They're quite different things. So one of the tools that I have found very helpful to kind of get a handle, not get a handle, but it's a way of really attend an emotion skillfully without getting lost, is what Gill calls a raft formula. And it's a systematic way of kind of approaching something that might feel kind of big and unmanageable. And by doing that kind of helps you, oh, just this piece of it I can do. Yes, this I can do. So the raft formula, it starts out with to recognize what's happening. Often just by naming an emotion, it's enough to give us just a little bit of distance from it, enough to be able to see it, to be aware of it, instead of being lost in it. You know, in some stories, you know, if you name the dragon, you take its power away. So in the same way, you know, naming the emotion can be really helpful. For some of us who may not be emotionally literate, like have a lot of words for emotions, it's okay to just say emotion or just say unpleasant emotion, you know. So it doesn't matter to get it just right. The idea is to be aware of the emotion, to notice it, you know, not to label it correctly. And recognizing it kind of leads us on to the next piece, is to allow it, to accept it. It belongs there. To not resist it, to not grab onto it. Sometimes with happy emotions, you know, we like it so much, we just want to grab onto it and squeeze it and keep it. So allow it to move through us. And the F is to feel it, to recognize it, allow it, accept it, and to feel it in the body. Now take a moment and think about, take the emotion of anger. Okay? Think about when you feel angry, how do you recognize it? Can you recognize a flavor in the mind that's anger? that's different from the story, right? The story, they did this to me. But the flavor in the mind has a certain flavor. It's hard to pinpoint what that flavor, you know, where is it? What is that flavor? But you recognize it. It's very different than the flavor of being happy, right? And then there's the sensations in the body that arise, you know, when we get angry, you know, the hormones course through the body and they, you know, cause certain tensions. And, you know, so if we pay attention to the body, you can definitely feel the effect in the body, maybe differently in different people. You might feel it in the gut, you know, you might feel it, some people tighten their hands or their face. So allow yourself to go to the body. The body is here. It's a really great place to not get lost in an emotion. You know, we just go right into the physical sensations of the emotions. And often as you do this formula, any part of the formula, sometimes the emotion dissolves. There's no need to keep going with the formula. So if after you've allowed and accepted and it's gone, you know, you don't have to finish it. You know, it's just only use it as it helps you really stay aware of the emotion without resistance. You know, as soon as it's not compelling, you can just gradually, gently go back to the breath. And the last part is to tease it apart. So sometimes some emotions, you know, besides the story that feeds them, also have like certain cognitive beliefs that we attach to them. An example for myself, you know, that I've used often is I get really angry when things weren't fair, you know, and so I could get all riled up. It could be really minor, you know, somebody ate all the fruit and there's no fruit left for breakfast, you know, and that's not fair, you know, and, excuse me, and, you know, and I would think, God, that seems so, why am I so riled up? I don't really care if I, you know, if there's a fruit, but that I really believed that life is supposed to be fair, and that cognitive belief was so dissonant with reality, which reality, things just aren't fair. They're not equitable always, you know. And it's not that we might not try to move in that direction, but that that cognitive belief that things should be fair is at odds with reality, and it caused a lot of suffering, a lot of dukkha inside me. And so this anger would be rising up all the time because everywhere you look, life isn't fair. So it's really valuable, you know, when you get caught in these kind of emotions, if they, you know, if it's the kind of emotion that really touches some cognitive belief, the pattern will just kind of keep coming back and coming back. So in terms of using this while we're meditating, you know, we'll focus on the breath, open the attention, and only if a compelling emotion arises do we need to attend it. If later you're doing walking meditation, I found helpful to take a moment and stop wherever I am to attend it. So if you haven't, you know, gently close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths. And with each breath, just settle a little bit more. Just notice your general emotional state. How do you feel right now? And then shift your attention to the breath, to your home base, and let your attention rest there. Keeping the breath in the foreground, widen your attention to include any compelling, strong physical sensations or emotions that might arise. And if any arise, turn your awareness to them. No need to judge or react. And when no longer compelling, return to the breath. If it's helpful, when an emotion arises, you might recognize it, allow it, feel it in the body, or tease it apart. No need to look for anything. Just rest on the breath. mindfulness practice allows us to learn to trust our emotional life, to allow ourselves to feel the full range of human emotions without repressing them or necessarily acting them out. We can be present for emotions, stay very intimate with our emotions, very close to them, experiencing them fully, and let them pass through us. But it also frees us to express them when it's appropriate, when it's healthy to do so. You know, laughing, hugging a friend, expressing our love. There are also deep emotions that can arise when the mind is deeply at ease. Things like unconditional love, compassion, happiness, peace. Things that arise without something special happening, something right happening in our lives, without a reason. But the art in this practice is to not try to have any emotions and not have other ones. It's to allow these things to move through us, including all these wonderful fruits of practice that sometimes arise, that are these great states that I've spent plenty of time clinging to. So I wanted to just clarify something. I was saying something kind of a little bit quickly, a shortcut, and I may not have said it clearly. You know, for me, the cognitive belief that life should be fair is about the things in life that we can't change. It doesn't mean that there aren't things that are unfair in society. And of course, we want to be able to respond to them. And when we are, when we're able to be at peace with our own emotions, it actually makes us much more effective at responding to injustice, responding to the things that aren't right in our society. When we're caught up in our own anger and resistance, it's actually much harder to see clearly, to think clearly. You know, being caught in the anger, stuck in the anger, we can transform the anger into action, into something useful, if we allow it to move through our bodies and not kind of get stuck there with resentment, with hostility. So we can bring peace into the world instead of anger into the world. So hope you allow yourself to appreciate this full range of our humanity, this wonderful range that we have of all sorts of emotions that come and go. They're kind of like a dance in our lives. And it's wonderful to get to know them, to let them move through us, and to be free of them also at the same time. Thank you.